How often have you or do you, have you done something simply to fit in, to not stick out? How often has that happened for you? Maybe it's you wear certain clothes to certain occasions. Now I realize none of you wore bathrobes this morning. There's a certain etiquette, yeah, sure. But have you ever bought something because other friends are buying it and you feel like you had to have that too? Have you ever tried to say the right thing at the right time to have the certain people approve, or don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time so certain people approve of you? I've read a number of articles about this fall, people keeping unusually quiet about their voting choices last month for fear of what other people might think. How often do we say or do or buy or whatever, do something on some level in order to fit in? To not stick out, to not feel embarrassed. If we're honest, I think it's probably more than we realize. Well, today we're going to look at a story that shows us that sometimes following Jesus looks weird. Sometimes following Jesus makes you stick out, makes you not fit in. Sometimes being absolutely faithful to God looks strange, makes you stick out, does not fit in. And today we're looking at John. We heard about him in Matthew 3, the gospel reading. He gets the moniker John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, because he did a lot of baptizing. There's a lot of John, so which John is it? You know, John the blacksmith, John the baker? Nope, John the Baptizer. That's what he did a lot of. And you might call him God's weirdo. He really was. The descriptors about him, he says he wore a camel hair for clothing. Sounds itchy to me, but, you know, take a camel skin and hair and wrap that around yourself. And then he kept it on with a leather belt. He just, you know, tied at the waist. So already, boy, not really normal. And then he lived out in the Jordan River wilderness. So Jerusalem's up on the mountains, on a mountain ridge. And you go down, you go east, you go down about 4,000 feet in just over 10 miles, and it's this rocky, rugged, getting hotter as you go further and further down, desertous terrain all the way down to the Jordan River Valley, and there's green life along the river valley. City of Jericho's there, but it's hot, and he's out in the wilderness by himself. And he lives out there, and then it tells us what his diet was. Locusts. Locusts and then wild honey. John was paleo before it was cool. And John was the patron saint of giant beards. He had to be, right? Doesn't mention his beard in the Bible, but I'm guessing you live out there that he was it. He was your first century mountain man. But if you read Luke 1, it tells us the story of his birth. John grew up as the beloved and the longed for child of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were unable to have children, and so they were years upon years for Elizabeth, I imagine, of she would pray and cry and pray and cry. And then one day, Luke 1 tells us that her and her priest husband were righteous before God's eyes. They loved God and obeyed his commands, but still had no children. And then one day, serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and says, guess what? Elizabeth's going to give birth, and he's going to be the forerunner, the preparer of the Messiah. He's going to be the spotlight to shine directly on the Messiah, to point people to him, to prepare the way for him, and prepare he did in his own weird way. John gets called a prophet. Prophets were often weird in the Bible. They're asked to do weird things. Read about Ezekiel or Jeremiah. They're asked to live in weird ways by God and say weird things. And so John looks weird, and he has a weird message. What's his message? Repent. Repent, everyone. Confess your sins. Be baptized. Not a very cool message. Marketers would not approve. If he went to a marketing firm saying, hey, I'm trying to prepare the way for the Messiah, he's going to be great, he's going to be popular, he's here for the whole world to save everybody, what should I say? They would not say, go out and look like a weirdo and tell people to repent. They would probably say, go tell people you're not that bad, try a little harder, believe a little more in yourself, and you'll make it. Just keep going, believe harder, try harder, you'll do it. And instead he says, Do you want to know God? Do you want to know the grace of God? Stop looking in here and start looking at God. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to run around and justify your own existence in so many different ways. He simply says, repent. Repent of the bad things you've done. Repent of the self-righteousness you feel about the good things you've done. Repent about looking down on others who are less moral than you. Repent. And in repenting, receive God's grace. That's when John's an adult and he sees Jesus walking by. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'll sing that in a little bit as we come to the Lord's table. Yes, John shines the spotlight on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that means we repent. We say, God, I am nothing without you. I confess my sins and I need you. Because we believe in, strangely, a weird God. So John is a weird servant of a weird God. It is very weird for God to say, I am coming near to you. Other religions don't claim that. We try to find our way to the God in other religions. God's here, God's, I'm coming to you. The world is irreparably broken, and God says, I will take it upon myself to come fix it. And that's the story throughout all the Bible. Going back to the Old Testament, even in Adam and Eve, when they first shatter God's perfect creation, God says, I will take it upon myself to come and fix it. That is weird. And that is our God. And that is our God of love who says, I will come. I will come near to you. And when Jesus walks around and teaches, he says, I haven't come to sit around and be served like a king, but I have come to serve and to give my life for you. We have a weird God who would come near to you, who would die for you, who would rise for you and then promise resurrection and new life now and forever. That's a weird thing. That's a weird God. And in following and being faithful to our God might just look weird sometimes. Dave Ramsey often talks about that in a money sense. He's a money guru. You can listen to him on the radio or check out his website. He has Financial Peace University, and he tells people to be weird, be weird, be weird. In a money sense, he's saying many people spend more than they have a lot of debt, and he says, now I want you to be weird and pay off your debt and save money. And he's saying, don't do it, everybody else, because weird is good. In a biblical sense, God is saying, yes, it is weird that I would come and I would repair my relationship with you at the cost, my own cost. And when God calls you to be faithful to him, it might just look weird. It might look like a friend of mine who teaches in a poor area of a city in America, and he's had many offers, to lucrative offers, to make much more money to teach elsewhere, and so far he said, no thank you, I want to serve God here and change this community from the inside out. I knew a lady who was a nurse practitioner who very qualified, had a PhD, she was tenured at a university, but eventually went on to leave that and work at the VA. And there she worked longer hours for less pay because she knew she was serving a veteran population that often had little access to very good care and needed that and desired to do that. Following God sometimes looks like a retiree not simply thinking of what the good life could be each and every day, whether it's fishing or golfing or whatever your thing of choice is, but using retirement to serve others. And as Jesus said, to love your neighbor as yourself. Or it could look like the family who decides to live under their means and under their paycheck so that they can be generous to others in need. What about you? What would it look like for you to be one of God's weirdos this week, this season, this month? What would it look like to follow the weird God who lays down his life for you? The weird God who calls you to repent, and in repenting, receiving forgiveness and grace and the truest life possible. What would that look like for you? And what would that look like if we all did that? Can you imagine if not just all of us here at Zion did that, but but the church in Holland and the church in Michigan and the church around the world, if we all, now we don't have to put on camel hair to do that, but what would it look like for all of us to follow Jesus? Be weird, follow Jesus. Amen.